Our lesson tonight is out of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, Christ's top priority of fellowship with God. From God's perspective, to be occupied with Christ is more important than to be occupied for Christ. That's a quote out of Dr. Pentecost's book, The Words and Works of Jesus Christ. This truth was taught by Jesus in his conversation with Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. So we view the event for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village. We know later that this is Bethany, which is about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and it came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Interesting conversation that Jesus had with these ladies. The conversation between Martha and Jesus has to be understood in its setting of the Feast of the Tabernacles when it occurred. Dr. Edersheim brings this out, and this helps to show us why Martha was cumbered about with a lot of things, because the responsibilities were big. This is something like cooking a Thanksgiving dinner or cooking a Christmas dinner, and you have a house full of people who are visitors and whatnot. During this feast, the Mosaic law directed that Israel's people had to live outdoor in booths for the 7-day feast to recall Israel's dwelling in booths during Israel's wilderness journeys in the Exodus. Now, a home like this in Bethany was, you had a house and you had a courtyard, and often the booth would be built in the courtyard, though it was a walled courtyard. And so they had to live in these booths all 7 days of the feast. Now, it's interesting, by the time of Christ, many directives had been added as to how these booths were to be built, of what kinds of boughs of live trees they were to be made, the right dimensions of the booths, that three sides and the top were to be covered enough to shade, but not so much as to block out all the sunlight. So this had to be built in such a way that it covered the people, but they still had to let some sunlight through. And so Martha, this is her house, and she's probably been out getting these boughs and putting the posts in the ground to build this, you know, thing. And it's probably facing in the north, because then the sun is not shining directly in that way, but it's covering out the other areas. So anyway, once Israel's households had followed the detailed directions on building the booths, they were to eat, sleep, pray, study, in short, entirely live in them throughout the 7-day feast. So you had to have cots out there, beds, whatever. But Martha would have to cook in her house, because that's where the stove was and the firewood and everything, but she had to bring all this food out. And then after the people were finished eating, then she'd have to take the food back in. Now, Martha was burdened about all these arrangements, besides the preparing of the food in the house that was to be brought out to the booth for the family and for their guests, especially for her special guest, Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. You're going to put a table out for the Messiah. You're going to put your best, right? So she's doing her best. Well, Martha had invited Jesus to spend some time during the feast in her home with her sister Mary, and we assume that Jesus had sent his disciples ahead into Jerusalem to observe the feast there while he tarried a few days in the home of Martha and Mary. It probably would have been overwhelming to have 13 men, Jesus, you know, the 13th with the other disciples, and to feed all these men and house all these men. It would have been, way overwhelming, but Jesus could accept it. Well, since Martha was apparently the older sister, she likely had assumed responsibility to host Jesus, while their sister Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus to listen to him teach. Well, conversely, Martha was being overwhelmed. Periespato is the imperfect passive indicative perispao. Perispao means to overbusy. And it's in the imperfect passive. She was in the process of being overbusy. She'd probably been overbusy for days. So it had been building up, okay? You can understand where this lady's coming from. About much serving. So after she had worked herself up into a state of frustration, she came to Jesus. I almost picture her with her hands on her hips, like this, almost. It doesn't say her had her hands on her hips, but, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So she's actually ordering the Lord Jesus. But you have to understand, she's frustrated. She's been working herself into a lather. Everything's uptight. So here she lets the Jesus have it. Now, Jesus handles it in a very gracious manner. The Lord replied to her saying, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious or concerned," the Greek word is merimnao, "and troubled," thorubazo, "about many things." And that's an understatement in view of the setting and many arrangements she was addressing. It wasn't just the meal. I mean, this had been building all week long because she was getting the bows and everything out there, and she's been going out and in, out and in, and expecting Jesus to come. This is going to be a big, big deal for her. But Jesus then added, "But one is necessary." Henos is a different case, the genitive case for one, which is the word ace in Greek. Now, many Greek manuscript copyists understood henos to refer to what Martha was preparing for the meal, so they avoided the absoluteness implied by henos by replacing it with the word oligon, which means few, with a variety of clumsy renditions. In other words, they said, meaning only a few things are necessary. In other words, you don't have to go through all the preparations for all these things. You can just a couple of things. But that's not really what Jesus said. The reason we know that is there's a conjunction gar that interprets, that begins the next sentence. And gar means for. And for demonstrates the clarification that Jesus is going to make of henos. And it explains and it indicates that henos is supposed to be taken in the absolute sense. That's exactly what Jesus meant. Namely, that what Mary had chosen to do in sitting at the feet of her Lord to be discipled in fellowship with him took priority over all the many preparations of service Martha had with good motives and that she'd been laboring to address. And this is really quite a teaching. Jesus knew that, you know, Martha was required and Mary was required to have this booth, and they had done it and everything. But Jesus said there's something that's far more important: your fellowship with me. And that's what he pointed out here. Mary had chosen fellowship with the Lord above getting preoccupied with serving the Lord, the better choice as to priority. So Jesus told Martha that such a part would not be taken away from Mary. Now, this was a rebuke, but it was a very gentle rebuke. And it was designed to show Martha that the Lord was not interested in her getting all wrought up and frustrated. What he wanted her to do was to focus on her relationship with him. And if it meant having, you know, things slip a little bit here and there in regards to the booths or the food or whatnot, if it was just one plate that could come out, that's all. Jesus really wasn't concerned about that. Now, what's interesting is this statement by Jesus aligns with God's initial reasoning for instituting the Feast of Tabernacles. That feast was meant to remind Israel that God had met her livelihood needs for 40 years in her wilderness journeys of the Exodus. In Leviticus 23, verses 41 to 43, where God says, "You're going to stay in these booths," the reason is, "I caused the children of Israel to live in booths when she came out of Egypt." Because in Egypt, they were in the wilderness, it was sunny, it was hot, so they had to live in booths. And God fed them every single day with manna. It was very common, very low food, kind of like tuna fish sandwiches for us. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But it was food. And God fed them every single day. Except on Fridays, he gave them twice as much so they wouldn't have to go out and pick it up on Saturday. And the food would last Friday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, the first day of the week, then the manna would come again. And there was actually a one-day overlap between the manna. When they got into the land of Canaan, God gave the manna one-day overlap with the grain of the land that they had. And then God gave no more manna. That's very typical of the Lord. He does just enough, a little bit more, and that's it. They didn't need any more food once they got into the land. But God took care of them. And God wanted Israel to remember, look, I took care of you. If I hadn't been there, if I hadn't been giving you manna, you would have died in the wilderness. You were there for 40 years. And what God wanted them to do is to never forget the fact that they needed to rely on him. They needed to fellowship with the Lord. So the whole focus of the Feast of Tabernacles was not to forget the Lord. But this is what Martha was doing. She was so wrought up in all the rules and the regulations that the leaders had piled upon them for celebrating this feast that she forgot about the whole importance of the feast, and that is remembering the Lord. Mary hadn't forgotten that. Mary remembered the Lord. She was sitting at his feet. So this statement demonstrates that recollection that they should have had was meant to cause Israel's people to continue to rely on the Lord as their true source of livelihood, not depart from fellowship with the Lord. So the lesson is, when Martha became so absorbed in preparing a meal for Jesus amid the extensive directives of Israel's leaders in preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles that she became frustrated, Jesus brought her back to the initial purpose of the feast, that of reminding Israel's people of their need to stay in fellowship with the Lord and their sustainer. So may we not make serving God our top priority, but keep fellowship with him as our main priority. Just before coming tonight, I was reading a passage from a book that my wife has checked out of the library, a book written by missionaries who were missionaries to headhunters in South America. And that was really something, because they were risking their lives to go out, and they finally were able to make contact with a tribe that before had threatened them to get out or they would kill them. But this time, for some reason, the tribe was open to them and they came in. And it says that when they were eating, when they were sleeping amongst the people in the tribe, the warriors would get up and going around, and they were taking turns looking out because they were had all sorts of enemies around them. They never knew when they were going to be attacked. It was very difficult for the missionary lady to sleep, and she was sleeping on hard bamboo, and it was rough. But it was interesting, the next day when they got up to sharing the gospel, the chief was so moved by the gospel. Of course, they started with Genesis, the creation, the fall of man, and then they skipped fast forward up to the gospel of Christ. The chief was so moved by it, he said, "Tell us the story again." So they went through the whole thing again. They got through it, he said, "Tell us again. That's a beautiful story." Went through it again. They went through it oodles of times. And going through it, they were thrilled over the fact that these people, headhunters, violent, were so open to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it made all the struggles that they had, the mosquitoes they'd been fighting, the food they had to eat, they were eating the food of the people there, but the chief just couldn't get over. In fact, the people around were shaking their heads up and down with the chief. They wanted to hear it again and again and again and again. And finally, the missionaries had to leave, and the missionaries noticed there were a number of diseases amongst the people. They needed a doctor. So they said, if you create an airstrip in the jungle here, we'll have an airplane come in and we'll bring a doctor and we can address these problems. So they left the people and got in their canoes and went back down the river. And they promised to get some shovels and bring them in so they helped get the airstrip started. But these people were wide open to the gospel. And it made everything worthwhile. And the missionary pointed out once again, the living conditions were terrible. It was frightening. It was difficult to live amongst these people because you never knew what was going to happen. You never knew if your life was going to be at stake. But when they heard the gospel, they were wide open. They wanted to keep hearing it again. And it made it all worthwhile. They recognized fellowship with the Lord, depending upon the Lord to reach these people, real savage people for the Lord, meant so much. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to keep our relationship with the Lord priority number one. It's above serving Him, above everything else we do as a church. It's our personal relationship with the Lord. If we keep that intact, everything is going to work out fine.